The Reserve Pool, Episode 16, Non-Starter. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Reserve Pool, a podcast about Dice Masters and, of course, all of the people who love to play it. This is Dave.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Evan.
And we are here again for episode number 16. And before we begin, let me give you the usual ring-a-roll about iTunes, where you can leave us a review, about Twitter, where you can follow us. The Board Game Geek Guild, of course, are going to be starting a Facebook thinger here soon, so keep your eye out for that. And, so find us in all those places. It'd be great if you did. It would make our hearts happy. Oh, speaking of hearts being happy, click on that little heart next to our name on the website, Board Game Links, and keep us moving up through the ranks. We move quickly up from, like, 300 to 33, and now, like, the next one above us is, like, a lot farther. So
now we must fight!
Yes, we need hearts. We need
click
hearts.
Click the button.
We are the highest ranked, like, niche site on there. Everybody else on there is sort of like, hey, we talk about all kinds of board games, and we are specifically one game, and nobody else that's niche is quite so high. So that's pretty freaking awesome, guys. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. So speaking of, like, support, we've tried to find ways to give back to you, and we just did a contest, and we wanted to tell you that contest winners are coming soon. It's done. We have them sort of picked, but we're just not quite ready for prime time as of today's recording. So expect that next week. Oh, sorry. I thought you guys were going to cut in with something there.
Yeah, I don't really.
What am I going to say?
Yeah, yes, I mean,
sorry.
I could say sorry. I'm
a not
putz,
timely.
I guess. But
that sure is.
Oh,
that's totally going to.
Well, anyway, I have had some fun time. Gaming lately. I got the chance. I was spending some time with family. I've been on a big Sentinels of the Multiverse kick lately and taught my brother how to play it, and he really dug it, which is cool because there's a lot of times when there's a game that I really want him to be excited about, and I think just to spite me, he's like, eh. Like, he was that way about Netrunner, which by all rights he should love. Eh. Same thing with Dice Masters. Oh, I guess. It's all right. I think he just sees my enthusiasm and wants to spite me.
So he's your little brother, then.
Yes, he is. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So you're saying he's a sibling.
Well,
whatever. You don't have big sisters. You only have little sisters.
Yes. I can only imagine how bad it would be if I had big sisters.
Oh, my goodness.
He's about 5 years younger than me, but the nice thing was, since he turned 21, we can have... He's a bit of a beer snob. In fact, he's more than I.
Get me started.
So we can have educated conversation. Well, actually, Evan, right now, as we record this, I am sipping on a from the Traveler Beer Company, one of their Jacko Shandies, and this is fantastic. This is my favorite pumpkin beer that I've had yet.
Oh, it's pumpkin beer time.
Uh-huh.
I came early this year, and I'm so glad it did.
I mostly found I hate, or not hate, I'm sort of like wheat, and I think it's amber beer, mostly. IPAs, I'm just like, why would I ever drink that? That's disgusting.
I don't like IPAs, and I know a lot of people do, including my brother. I think it tastes like flower water myself. It's way too hoppy. But
I think they just taste like bitter disgusting. If I wanted something that tasted bad, I'd drink tequila.
Please drink responsibly. If you're not under the age of 21, don't even think about it. But
indeed.
Yeah, no, this is...
Because none of us drank before we were 21.
No. Ever.
Not
Evan,
even
if you like wheat beers, you would like this. It's a shandy, which is a wheat beer, with a little bit of lemon mixed in there, too.
So that sounds good.
I'll tell you, this tastes very pumpkin-y. I like it a lot.
Less thrilled about that.
Not a big fan of pumpkins. Also, I'm not drinking anymore. So.
I don't drink either, so whatever.
I only enjoy a little bit here and there. I don't understand people who drink like a gazillion, you know, pints of Bud Light or whatever else. That doesn't make sense to me. I'd like to have a beer and enjoy the flavor of it, and that's about it. But that's just me.
Hilariously enough, I am currently surrounded by booze because, as I've mentioned on previous podcasts, my sister's getting married soon and all of the booze is in our house.
Oh, man.
All of it. Every single booze. And my dad keeps looking at it and he's like, are you sure the groom's family's going to drink this all? And she's like, you've never seen them at reunion. I've seen my aunt passed out on a toilet.
That's awesome. I think you're probably in for a fun wedding when that happens, then. That's cool.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot wait. The only rule is no red wine, so we'll see how it goes.
There you go. Well, this is a Dice Masters podcast, so I guess we better talk about, like,
Wait, this wasn't when we were recording the booze cast? Damn.
No, but you know what? I've been thinking about starting a network, so the booze cast could be the next thing. No,
absolutely.
Won't, no.
Part of the Dice Masters thing.
All right, so let's move on to the mail.
Time for the mailbag. Remember, you guys can always reach us at mailbag@thereservepool.com. This week we have a email from Carta, who has written to us about a little combo that he or she came up with. Don't know. So, I was participating in a discussion over on the subreddit regarding Doc Ock's various cards and combat damage, and I think I might have come up with a fairly nasty combo, and I was hoping you could clarify on whether it works the way I think it does or not. So, the setup is basically you have a level 3 Hulk, 8-8, or I presume any other number of really high attack costs, 2 action dice, power bolt and throw car, ready to be used, and my opponent blocks with 1 sidekick. In the action window before combat damage is dealt, I use both action dice, power bolt targeting the sidekick, blocking Hulk, and throw car targeting Hulk himself. And here's what I think happens. Power bolt knocks out the sidekick, Hulk remains blocked. Throw car buffs Hulk, giving him a +1 A and the trample effect. Hulk deals combat damage. He's still blocked, but there's no blocker in front of him, so the total defense of the blocker is effectively 0. The trample effect allows him to deal 9 damage to the opponent, and since Hulk was blocked, he returns to the field in spite of the fact that he dealt full damage to the opponent. The dice are obviously fairly interchangeable, so apparently he or she is hoping that we can clarify this, because it seems like a really powerful play that hasn't seen a lot of attention. What do you guys think?
So, I think back in the early days of Magic, there was a combo where if you drew, I think it was like a Mox, a Black Lotus, Channel, and Fireball on your first turn, you could kill your opponent on your first turn. And I think this is sort of in the same spirit. This sounds totally legit to me, but you'll need to, I guess, have Hulk out and then draw these 2 specific action dice at the same time.
And
your opponent has to block with a sidekick, which probably means that's all they have to block with.
Or they're dumb. I mean, let's call a spade a spade.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you don't in general, if your opponent sees you have throw car, they're probably going to go a little more all in if they have blockers to block. I will also note, Carta, that you've made a slight miscalculation about the best way to get damage out of this, because actually, if you throw car Hulk and powerboat your opponent, you end up with 9 damage. Because 10. you have 10 damage instead of the 9 that you've got by power bolting the sidekick. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, it's true. Evan, you're right. It's a very unwieldy thing. It does work. I think there are ways to make it happen. I think instead of power bolt, you could use Nog's ability to sacrifice your own sidekick to knock out your opponent's. After they're declared as a blocker, and that would work pretty much the same way.
That one's definitely a little more reliable, and you're not depending on 2 actions rolling your way.
Right, and as as Carta suggests in their email, you could use Doc Ock, who has the trample effect effectively on his on at least one of his versions.
Yeah, it's built
just the one.
Use Doc Ock and Nog, and then you don't have to use a basic action at all.
Yeah, right. I think that's a much more awesome combo. Really, the problem with actions is they don't hold over. I think that's the biggest problem with them, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, you got to buy them. They don't hold over. And again, you could spend an entire game, like your combo hinges here on a couple of dice coming out at the same time, and they have to be those basic actions there, and they have to be there together, which means you've either spent a lot buying a lot of them, or like miracle of miracles, here they are together. That doesn't work. You can lose the game in the time you're waiting for, as I've referred to it before, as the stars to align and all of these things come out. I think if you can take those out of it, again, using like Doc Ock and Nog, then perhaps you have something that's a lot more workable. And since you have Doc Ock there and you need to build up to buying him, then you can use Nog as your engine to help rush up to him and use Silver Surfer in a similar way, as we've discussed in other places. I mean, really, I think that's the best way to speed up to a more expensive character. But in general, yeah, if you can take the basic actions out of the equation, it's just better for you because it actually becomes something that's possible instead of Evan's scenario of the Channel Lotus Moxen Fireball, which is insane. I mean, Channel Ball was bad as it was, but this is just even worse.
Yeah, I do have to say, especially since unlike in Magic, where you get to hold a hand and your hand sticks with you for multiple turns, I mean, even though you can't kill your opponent on the first turn, you might be able to pull that out on turn three. You know, if everything aligns. But the problem when you're depending on an effect that requires two basic actions, I consider that in this game functionally impossible. It might happen, but you know, functionally impossible.
I mean, if you absolutely had to make it happen, you could use probably a charlatan Doctor Strange to tutor your actions in, but then you're buying another, what is it, a 6 or 7 cost character?
Seven costs.
Another 7 cost character. I can never remember which one of those is 6 and which is 7.
The only good one is 6. That's the thing that I don't get about Doctor Strange, or the only one I like. I'm sure there's some uses for the other ones.
Yeah, there's uses for them, but they're just expensive. And again, I mean, you're already going to have problems fielding Doc Ock because he's kind of a large fellow, and you know, just making, you know, okay, we can make this easier by fielding an even larger guy.
Yeah,
not a good plan.
It's not,
yeah, so
work.
I think at the end of the day, the lesson here, I think, is it absolutely works exactly the way you say it would, Carta, but I don't think it's a great idea to try to hinge on that. If you have Hulk and like a throw car, that's already awesome, you know. You know, it doesn't need to get any better than that. And and even just a Hulk, if you have the Jade Giant, is it the one that blows up when he takes damage?
Green Goliath
Hulk. You know, that's already awesome. In a lot of ways, you want Hulk to take damage. You don't want to knock out that sidekick before it deals damage to him. So I think, like, it's doable, but I would only do it with the, I forget which version of Doc Ock, and say, like, a Nog, Norman Osborn Green Goblin that allows you to pay a bolt, sacrifice your own sidekick, and do the damage. So, I mean, you could maybe use it to soften up a higher defense one, too. I mean, that could maybe work. I think that's actually better. Is, you know, you have someone with maybe 4 defense and then you power bolt it, so there's 2 damage already, so it can only block 2 more. You know, that actually might be a better use of the power bolt in that situation. And it really relies on your opponent only single blocking that that Hulk, which...
Well, that's the other side of it, too. Yeah. That's rough. Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, that's just, there's a couple of things that are, it's one of those, like, sure, it can happen like that, but it would take a lot of slightly suboptimal play from both you and your opponent, I think, to make it happen. I think that's why we don't hear about these types of combos, is because the combos that have been getting a lot of play are the ones that are, they combo with themselves. You know, your Sarina, she's a combo in her own right. So,
well, yeah, that's true. In general, I think that if you go with Doc Ock and Nog here, without and take away the reliance on the basic action dice, you might have something that's workable, and I'd be very curious to see if you can do that, because you're much more likely to have a bolt and a sidekick than you are to get a couple of
action dice
out at the same time. Yeah, exactly. So you're on the right track here for sure. I think you just want to look at some ways to consolidate the combos here. And in this case, because we have cards with the abilities that we have, you can do that. So give us a shout, Carter, and let us know how it works.
Yep.
So for our feature topic today, we called the episode Non-Starter. And we were thinking about some things centering around the starter set and how we are here several months in, and well, starter set supplies are still not that great, guys. I think when you look at the starter sets, you look at you have 8 sets of character dice in there, 8 sets of 2 pairs, right? So 16 total. That's 8 booster packs worth of character dice. And now with the setup box out there offering basic actions, sidekicks, basic action dice, and some booster packs, as well as a nifty way to store the game, might I add, and I believe a rule book as well, the question has to be asked, was the starter a mistake? Was this really the best way to get people into the game? I think that if people had, you know, access to the basic actions, and certainly WizKids made that out with their official way to proxy everything and stuff like that. I don't see why we needed to have a starter with some preset characters beyond teaching the game. It was almost like a misguided, like, attempt to do like a dual deck for Magic or something along those lines. It just didn't quite work. And I have to feel that if maybe there was an alternative way of buying into the game from the very beginning, we might not have some of the same issues that we have right now. Because, again, each starter, that's good for another 8 booster packs.
I totally agree. We obviously, in preparation, talked about this a little bit. And the thing that I kept coming back to, I think I kept harping on, was like, I want my B666. you know, and really, I mean, that's, I think, one of the big cards out of the starter kit that people really can't do without. I mean, there's some good other good ones, don't get me wrong, but that's really everyone's standout there. And I feel as though you sort of miss out by getting the set that you have in the starter set. I mean, it's great, and I've actually advised people on how to make competitive decks just out of the starter set. But I think the thing is, since you have those 8 characters, 3 versions each, but only 2 dice for them, you've already put all those starter cards at a deficit of a dice deficit. I mean, because if you'd gotten those out of booster packs, you would have had 3 of each die rather than 2. And it's also a little harder to get the uncommon version of the starter cards as well, because there's no common version to pick up dice more easily. And I think just kind of the whole set of it put together, just from a pure logistics standpoint, you know, even regardless of the supply issues we had with that starter kit, that's the thing that I keep coming back to, is if I got those cards out of the booster packs, it would have slightly changed the composition of the dice I had, and I'm kind of running my mouth. That's what you guys paid me for, but here I am running my mouth. That is kind of my first thoughts.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Katie, as far as the dice go. You know, I had, you take Human Torch, in his 4 forms, and I got 3 of those dice, the 2 from the starter set and the 1 from Johnny Storm. And I couldn't even pull Johnny Storm from a pack. I ended up buying that single. I found it for an excellent price. I have 3 of those, and that's for 3 commons and an uncommon, compared to Black Widow, who has a common, a rare, and a super rare. And I have, like, dice out the wazoo for Black Widow. It's just an odd distribution when the dice are required to play. I mean, you could even get away with a really convincing proxy because we don't handle the cards at all as long as you have the dice for it. And the starter set just makes that all kinds of weird.
Yeah, I actually have the same problem with Spider-Man. I only have three Spider-Man dice, and that's only because a kind soul whose name is Evan sent me one of his copies of The Uncommon.
Yeah, because I had like three of them. I guess been slightly blessed in that I've gotten two of every starter uncommon at this point. So I've got two, but I could see if someone didn't buy, like, you know, if someone only wound up buying, you know, 20 packs, it's quite likely they'd only have two beast dice, and then they have to go to a secondary market to get more.
Yeah.
Or, you know, trade with friends. But your friends are going to have the same problem unless they're, you know, buying boxes and boxes of dice.
Absolutely. And I mean, I did not, you know, go into this, you know, with a toe. I jumped full in. I bought a whole booster box. Like I said, I did not get a single Spider-Man in that entire booster box. And I'm not saying, like, oh, well, I should have gotten one. I'm just saying, proportionally speaking, that's the problem with the starter kit and only giving two dice to go with it.
Well, I think having an alternative means to get into the game would have changed the face of the supply issue entirely. All of a sudden, all you need to start are the is something that gives you the basic actions and the sidekicks. And that's not so bad, considering that they've had enough to do whatever starters they've done to this point, plus whatever setup boxes they've done to this point. And in fact, I think even in the setup boxes, there are some like glitzier versions of some of those. I'm almost 100% sure, at least
there's
the side or basic actions
Storm,
and there's the alternate art Storm as well. But there's also glitzed up basic actions and or sidekicks. I can't remember for the life of me which, and I don't have the info in front of me. I feel like if there had been an alternative means, you'd get those things to start off with, and then, like, 8 to 10 boosters. I mean, there's still enough to learn how to play the game. We've decried many times on here the lackluster nature of the... The only reason to have the starter set, I guess, is to have that controlled entrance into the game, but we've decried many times the incredibly lackluster nature of that controlled start, right? We think the learning game is buckus. Like, it's not good. It's just not. And I think we all felt that way right out of the pack, not even as experienced players of this game.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that, like, when you buy 10 packs, you know, you're almost definitely going to end up with, like, at least one duplicate, not necessarily the same common card, but you'll probably end up with at least like a common and an uncommon version of one thing, and you can kind of start to grow your collection a little more. And one thing that we haven't touched on yet is the tournament play, because I cannot find, like, I mean, hard enough to find a tournament, don't get me wrong, but the ones I'm finding, they're all hybrid. They're all rainbow draft. They're all, you know, these full draft versions, which, A, keeps you away from some of the really good starter pack cards, but, B, like, it just doesn't work for me. Yep. Because your continued market is relying on selling more and more booster packs. And I think the starter mentality sort of created this, like, I'll buy a starter and a booster box mentality, which caused probably most of the supply issues. I mean, aside from the high demand, you know, you can't get around the high demand. But if your marketing strategy is to get people to continue to buy packs, the starter kit doesn't make a lot of sense on that either, because, you know, you start off with whatever you get and then you go to a tournament and you can start collecting cards from there. You know, if I go to a draft tournament from Magic, I can just show up with two hands.
Probably show up with one hand.
I could show up with one hand. Apologies to those
pirates.
Monodextrous.
Yeah. Also a note, just throwing it out there. The fact that most of Iron Man's cards are in the starter makes War Machine kind of useless.
Yeah, if you get War Machine in Rainbow Draft, what are you going to do with him? And I mean, his common, I'll tell you, his common must be very common. I have so many of his common. I mean, I'm sure that's just me. I know that everybody gets their own, like, why do I have 100 of this card? Wild Boy was my other one.
Oh, my goodness. I have so many
Yes. I don't know why. But, yeah, Evan, you hit the nail on the head right there once again. What the heck is the point of having War Machine in Rainbow Draft when anything good that he does relies on Iron Man, and there's going to be one Iron Man, and he's uncommon, and I'm sorry that you can call those uncommon if you want, but I see way more doubles of every other uncommon except the starter pack characters.
I think the other thing is, unlike, say, for example, Hulk, I really don't like Iron Man's uncommon. I think all of his good cards are in the starter pack, and you'll never see those in Rainbow Draft.
Yep. Never, ever.
Ever, ever.
Yeah, it just makes it really weird. It really does. I mean, if we're going to push Rainbow Draft and everything else, like you said, Katie, these things that make players buy more stuff, which is fine. Certainly, you know, Draft is as popular, if not maybe even more popular, in Magic than Constructed at this point. And Sealed deck, which I think really needs to get more play, is cool too. And I'd love to see what a Sealed would look like here. I don't know if it's even possible without being way too expensive. But I digress. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So here's all these characters you can use and get used to, and some of them combo and require, like, some characters you'll find out that require these characters to even work at all, but, you know, when it comes to tournament, you're not even going to get to use a huge chunk of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually a little worried about superheroes in the upcoming Uncanny X-Men for the same reason, because
it looks like
if they're all, like, rares...
Well, and the other thing is, I am not 100% sure, but I am pretty sure every single starter character's superhero version is in the starter kit. So you're not going to... So Angel, we've seen his superhero card, and that's right. In the starter kit. We've not seen one for Kitty, Cyclops, I forgot some of the other... Wolverine... I mean, based on expansion kit card list that we've seen, so my guess is that all of the starter superheroes, you know, other than Magneto and Juggernaut, who are in the starter kit, their superhero version is going to be in the starter kit, which means you will never be able to use the superhero effect effectively in any sort of draft format.
Yeah, and that's what I want to remind everybody, in case you haven't been keeping up with it. Superhero is a something that will be in the ability text for cards in the upcoming expansion. It's a new mechanic, a new mechanism that they're unrolling with Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah, which seems to involve pairs of characters pairing up on fielding. Not sure if there's going to be additional benefits that come with the superhero pair up or team up. I think they call it pairing up, though, not teaming up. So I don't even know. You won't be able to use that in a draft format if all six of the starter heroes, some of which whose names escape me at the moment, you can't get their superhero card because, you know, I've looked at, you know, the uncommon versions of those cards aren't called superhero, which means if there is a superhero version of them, it's in the starter kit.
Yeah, to be, I'm looking at the list right now, and it does in fact look like there are superheroes that aren't in the starter kit, but they're all uncommon or rare.
Nice.
Or super rare in Spider-Man's case.
Thanks, Spider-Man. I'm also pretty sure all of the, you know, heroes in the kit have a superhero version based on my quick glance. So, but there's only about... I want to say about 15 superheroes tops, which maybe less actually, it's just they're uncommon, they're rare, or they're in the starter kit, which means your chances of seeing that mechanic in draft is, again, like I said, in the mailbag, functionally zero or functionally impossible.
Well, and this goes back again to what's the point of the starter set itself? I understand the need to outfit people with the basic actions and other things like that. But I'm not sure I understand why the starter sets took the form that they did and really are continuing to take that form when I think like something more like the setup box, if you throw in a few extra boosters with it beyond the four that are included, something more like the setup box probably is going to do a little bit more, because then, you know, forget the starter sets, have everything in boosters, and give like a few boosters with the setup box. It could increase booster availability. It certainly would have made a lot of manufacturing issues with this game a little less. I mean, you already needed to have some of the starter dice floating in with the booster pack manufacturing process. So whatever you're doing there, you had to double up somewhere. Why not separate them entirely and have one thing where you just need the basic actions, the sidekicks, and have something else where you just need the other? I mean, logistically, it seems to make more sense, but of course, I don't know what the production lines look like.
I also think it's a lot easier to proxy that way. I mean, WizKids fairly rapidly came out with proxy rules for sidekicks and basic actions, but it's much harder to proxy the characters because you need, like, I mean, you can proxy the game with only five different types of dice, five different colors of dice, if you ignore the characters, if you ignore the need for the character dice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but I can lay hands on probably four different colors of D6 right now.
If you go to Hallmark and buy this stupid little game they're carrying called Tensi, you get like eight different colors of D6s, and you get like 8 to 10 of each. I mean, it's like $10.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the sort of thing, is that it would be much easier to proxy the basic actions and the sidekicks than it would be to proxy the entire starter kit. And, I mean, obviously it wouldn't necessarily fly in tournament play, but it's a lot nicer.
It's a good start.
Am I allowed to make the argument of it seems nicer? I mean, because that's how I feel about it. I just sort of, if I could have just bought like a much smaller starter setup. I mean, obviously, I have not gotten my hands on the starter setup box. I've kind of been meaning to take a look at it. But if you could lay hands on that and just a bunch of boosters, and the main issue, quote unquote, became the booster towers, it might have made people less cranky.
Yeah, because then you need to scrape up a few packs here or there or something like that.
You'd have fewer people feeling like, I don't have a starter set, and therefore I can't play.
It's true. Yes. I mean, there was a huge amount of that where people were like, well, I got my hands on an entire starter tower, but too bad I don't have sidekick dice and basic action dice because I can't play. And, I mean, WizKids kind of really kicked themselves in the pants that way by saying, well, this is how you get into it, and then really severely underestimating how many they needed versus if they just had. I mean, I'm not an economics person, but I imagine it would be slightly easier to kick up production of just the booster box rather than trying to, like, all of a sudden boost up all of the starter kit production. Start making the starter box or the startup box and continuing to try to pump out boosters. It just seemed like it split their energy at a delicate time.
Well, and initially, if you remember, boosters were plentiful. I mean, yes. It was very easy to find them. And then as the boosters tapered off, a couple of starters started to trickle in. But again, in each starter set, you essentially have eight booster packs worth of character dice. And if you look at the efficiency, which again, as you say, I'm not an economist or anything like that, but I imagine it would have helped with making them to have one singular focus there. But to step back a second to what we were talking about people feeling they have what they need to play, that's exactly what's happening with a lot of the game stores. I mean, Evan, I think you've encountered some of the same things locally. The places haven't gotten starters. They've gotten some booster towers, but because they didn't get starters, they were only selling the booster towers by the tower, not individual packs, because they didn't feel they'd had anybody who would, enough people would buy them, because there hadn't been enough starters to go through. So because they've gotten so little product in that way, they're also not giving out, they're also not doing any OP stuff, because they don't think that people have enough stuffs, so that nobody would come, that it would be a loss for them, that it wouldn't be a success. And if you didn't have that gate, or that perceived gate, at least, of the starter set, then, you know, I think it could have changed a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is, like, as a store, if all you had, if it was still impossible to get the startup, the setup box, you could still easily proxy games for people. You say, look, you know, I know it's not how you would normally roll in a tournament setting, but the white D6s are sidekicks, the red D6s are basic red action dice. Red, the, you know, and you could, you know, you can proxy.
And here's some card stock with the basic actions printed out.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And I mean, again, like I said, this is obviously not something that I think would fly in, like, you know, legitimate national level, you know, tournament play. But it, as a store, you know, if I had six booster towers sitting around, you bet I would do that.
I mean, I think I like the idea of here's some stuff, and overall, they gave us some pretty nice stuff in the starter set. I like the idea that here's a quick way for you in one place to get what you need to get a good taste of the game. I like that, you know, with that, and if you went and bought, you know, 10 booster packs for $25, you probably had a nice, you know, introductory game. Which, that's pretty, you know, it's, I think that's pretty comparable to most other collectible games. And, you know, it's a little more hands-on with the dice, which are very tactile. But, you know, the same points, putting a lot of good things into the starter set and having them be unavailable elsewhere, it also just all the ways we've been talking about, how it hamstrung them, you know. I almost want to say it would have been good for them to get, you know, some sort of, and here's the starter, the sidekicks, and your sidekick dice, and the basic actions, and everything else go. You know, have the starter kit not quite be what you need to play the game, but all you need to support the game, and have everything else be in packs.
Yeah, I mean, I think what WizKids must have been going for, I mean, quite obviously, was to put out a game that you and a buddy could sit down and play, like it was a board game. And I think at the end of the day, it failed to be enough to do that. I mean, because the cards that were in the starter kit, I don't think you could make two fair teams to sit across from each other out of. And so on that sense, I think it was a failure. I mean, there were too many high cost cards, only one dice engine, one, you know, the dice engine of the entire set. You just can't really make a properly opposing team. Even the setup game, you know, the teaching game that they put out was incredibly unbalanced, you know, and they only used two characters. So I think the thing is it failed to whet the appetite. Like, if you just bought that, I would have kind of just, like, put it under my mattress and never played it again. I mean, because it is not enough to make me go out and spend more money on it. I spent the amount of money I spent on it because I believed in the game, like, straight at the start, after Evan told me to believe in the game. So props to Evan. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I made that decision before the game came out. I hadn't even touched it. And partially based on Rodney's how to play thing. Way to go, Rodney. but that's the thing is, you know, if you are trying to convince somebody to, like, drop a five every time they walk into Target, it's like, I'm at Target for some clothes, or I'm at Target for a video game, or whatever you're at Target for, and I'm going to throw $5 worth of MDM packs in my cart, you're not going to convince me just from the starter box.
No, not at all. And when we talked about, like, different ways to begin, that was exactly what I said about the starter as well. It just did not do enough to demonstrate the potential that the game has as far as the basic games and so forth. And as you say, too, I really sat there for a while trying to look and see what two balanced teams could I put against one another here that would really work and help show what we wanted to show. And I had a hard time doing the same thing there because, I mean, at the end of the day, somebody's going to have Beast and somebody isn't. You know, and you can always take 666 out of the equation, but But even so, there wasn't a good way to split up character costs and some of those other things. Yeah, I think what they were going for was something like what they have for the Fast Forces packs with HeroClix. These are packs that have, I think, 7 or 8 different little miniatures in them, and it's enough that you can play like a small skirmish game, like 3 characters against 3 characters, or 4-on-4, or something like that. And it gives you a map, and it's two-sided, so you have a couple things to play in. And, I mean, for what it is, it works. It gives you enough of the basic, very, very basic rules to get going and understand the game. I think they were going for something like that. But the problem is, Fast Forces packs have a huge variety each time they come out. I mean, out there right now, if I wanted, they wouldn't be the newest and greatest, but I could get a Green Lantern that has all kinds of Green Lanterns. I could get Teen Titans. I could get X-Men. I could get Batman Family stuff. All kinds of different things that are out there from the last couple of years of sets. This just had the one thing, and that was it. It had characters you couldn't get anywhere else. You know, in those Fast Forces packs, they're characters where you can get, like, at least other iterations of them. These ones might be good. These ones might not be. But there's other ways to get that same Batman sculpt that you have right there or whatever else. I think they were going for something like that that really operates as a starter or more like the starters in Magic, but it doesn't work. There's nowhere else to get these. It wasn't made up of stuff you can get in the wild. It was just made up of stuff that was exclusive, and that's a problem when you want people to have your organized plays and everything else and don't have product available.
Yep. Yeah.
Rawr.
Rawr. No, I mean, plus one. Dave is completely right. it's just that was the problem with it, and I think it would have been okay if there hadn't been any other issues with the release. It was like, yep. I think it would have done okay, and we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this issue again, or a different iteration of this issue. Again, but here we are talking about this issue again because the game is interest is starting to be a little shaky, and I think part of it is there was a lot of excitement at the start and a lot of inability to jump in, and the reason that you couldn't jump in is because there was this gateway that you couldn't get past, the lack of starter product, and that was it. You know, and it really killed a lot of momentum that would have, you know, had there not been this, like, starter kit. Or maybe if they'd put out, like, I don't know, teams, you know, 8-card team packs that you could pick up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe an like Avengers team and an X-Men
yes.
team.
That would
so
have been exactly.
You could have Avengers versus X-Men.
Wait, Evan, explain
that
this to me again.
That would have been a starter.
Hey, explain this to me again. I'm not sure I understand.
You have these Avengers.
Okay.
And then you have these X-Men. And
okay.
Then there are Verses.
So are the X-Men all men?
Maybe.
Oh gosh.
If honestly looking at the the representations, quite close to it.
I
where's
mean,
Sue Storm?
Where's
that
Sue Storm?
That would have been perfect. Have some squads out there in commons. They could have even been just like 4 or 6, enough for like the basic game, and that's everything you need to legit play. That would have been something pre-constructed that would have worked. That would have been fantastic. Give you just enough to get going, and there you go. But even so, I just wonder, you know, anything to shift more focus to, hey, there are boosters, so you can still do things, and that would prevent us from being in the hole that we're in right now. I think that Uncanny is going to solve a lot of these things. There's still a starter box, but I think Uncanny is going to solve a lot of these things, like we talked about before. I think if people can just hang on, and there are rumors of much better availability happening right now, which is pretty awesome. A lot of threads on BoardGameGeek about that as we speak. So if you've been without, you might have a shot here, guys. Get out and check it out. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something where it would not have been, if it weren't bad, it wouldn't have been bad. But it was bad, so it was bad. You know, we had the supply problems, so it caused an issue. If there hadn't been supply problems, it wouldn't have been an issue. But
and I don't think they're happy about this. I don't think they're
it's not like they're sitting there going, "Man, it sure is awesome the way we had all those supply issues." No, nobody says that. It's just
it's great how all these people want to give us their money and can't.
Yes, yeah. You know what I love?
They must be ecstatic about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and
we could have money, but I like even more the thought of people wanting us to have their money.
And then not giving it to us because
and
they
And then
can't.
Not being able to give it to us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the best way to run a business.
That's what baffles me are the conspiracy theorists who say that, like, this is intentional. I mean, this is totally different from there not being enough Nintendo Wiis before Christmas. This is a completely different thing. They legit don't have the stuff to sell you. I think if you asked anybody from WizKids, they would love to have this stuff to sell you. They don't. They don't have it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think we've said about all we can say about this for now anyway. So we're looking at like late October where this is going to come out, coming up to Halloween. I think if people can just hold on, if we really do have a better wave of availability right now, talk to your game stores, convince them to do some things, show other players, because it is a good system. It's just that nobody can like use it right now. But but regardless of all that, I do believe that that some things are going to be improving here. It's just a question of how soon and how much patience everybody can have. So, yep.
Absolutely.
Have patience. It will get better.
A Jedi always has patience. That wasn't a proverb.
A Jedi doctor always has patience.
Oh my goodness. Evan, like why do I put up with you?
So that brings us to the end of another episode of The Reserve Pool. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Please let us know what you think on iTunes. Help us get the word out. Interact with us on the website. We're scaling back from daily articles, you may have noticed. That is intentional. That's not us being lazy. That is intentional because the meta is the meta. There's not a lot of new strategies we can talk about when there aren't new cards. And when a lot of places aren't having organized play events. So if there's a topic you'd like us to talk about, a lot of people have done a great job sending us emails, not specifically for talk about this on the show, but hey, I'd like to hear you say a little bit about this because I find this interesting. And we're certainly willing to take a look at that. I think it's important right now as things are a little bit stagnant to take into account what our readers and listeners want to read and listen to. So give us a shout again, mailbag@thereservepool.com, or of course Dave, Katie, and Evan at thereservepool.com. I mean, that's Dave at thereservepool, Katie, not Dave,
that
Katie,
is,
Evan.
That is three
separate
emails.
Names.
We have, yes. Yeah, we have not combined into a single unit
yet. Yes. So I'm sure it's coming. But anyway, thanks again. Keep on listening. We will see you here again in 1 week's time with episode 17, when our podcast will be old enough to see R-rated movies.
Woohoo! See you next time, guys!
And we'll have the contest to winners for people to ooh and ah about.
Yes,
huzzah!
We will. See you later, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
You just said butts.
He said putts. I mean, putts.
Oh, putts. I thought you said butts.
Yes, putts.
Oh.
Putts.
I don't always say butts. Just
I thought you called yourself a butt.
No, putts. Okay. It's okay. Isn't it Yiddish?
Probably.
All sounds
the cool
Yiddish.
Words are, all the cool, insulting words are Yiddish.
Yeah, they are. They're really cool. You know what word sounds like it's Yiddish, but isn't? Far-fetched.
That doesn't sound Yiddish.
It does a little bit.
You could use probably a Charlotte in Doctor Strange who lets you go tutoring for.
Where's that basic actor? There it is.
Oh my gosh. Guys,
today
really?
Is the potty humor evening.
Oh my goodness! You see what I have to deal with here. Like,
hey,
that wasn't even
consciously my fault,
but it still was.
Hey, Freud would say that it mattered, and I don't know what else he.